Just to give the rundown one more time, we have Perry Wally, Joaquin Sandelbon, we have Yahya Ali, Sky Majida, Phil Nodelman, Malika Merrill, Mansur Conviser, Hira Fatah, Gene Murray, Jabrila Kurtz, Munira Reed, Abraham Sussman, and Judith Kubish, and Darvesha and myself on the line.
What's there?
Did I miss it? Did I miss anybody? Yeah. Sure would be nice to dance with this group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some awesome music, too.
Right. Well, so as I was starting to say, what we'd like to do is give just a bit of an overview of some of the changes that have taken place in the last, 6 months, 6 to 9 months. and then kind of open it up for questions and discussion. And Darvesha, would you like me to go first here?
Sure, go ahead, Munir.
All right, well, what we'd like to do is go into both the focus, the spiritual focus that the revised MTG guidelines have brought to us, and then some of the organizational changes that we hope will reinforce and support the directions that the MTG guidelines have outlined. What it all amounts to is really a completely new direction and focus. Not completely new, but redirected in a way that puts the spiritual attunement and the growth and the integration of the dance leader really right at the center of what this work is all about. I'll start with the MTG Guidance Council, which was a group that was appointed some years ago to replace co-chairs Sadi and Tasneem Fernandez, to begin to kind of direct and shape the Dances of Universal Peace work. And Darvesha is the chair, and that group over the last 2 years has reframed the MTG guidelines, putting as I said, the spiritual growth of the dance leader at the center, but also, calling for a stronger relationship between the mentor and the mentee that's ongoing and goes beyond the certification of the leader, that it should be a living relationship that lasts. Calling on the dance leader to be a force of unity in the community, and you know, not just a lone wolf, and really talking about the many different aspects of the craft and art of dance leading, including creating sacred atmosphere. You know, in essence, the dance leader has to open a door in themselves that others can walk through and be that open door. So it's a great document. I felt that it was an excellent reframing to make all of us who are engaged in this work really aware of our responsibilities as mentors, and really to see that there's no limit to it. Now, on the organizational side, these are changes that, you know, you'll just need to read. If you haven't read the guidelines, please do. They're online now, and we're going to be they're being translated into multiple languages right now. Then on the organizational side, I'd just like to say that some of you may know that several years ago, maybe closer to almost 4 years ago, there was a group appointed to begin to study the structure of the dance network and how this could all function more effectively. From the early 2000s, there were some large parliamentary bodies trying to have a kind of representative government that made functioning very difficult because very few people had the big picture of how it was all supposed to work. And the Unity Council, which was a group that studied all this for a couple of years, made some recommendations last year, which were adopted in September, and a new board was elected. And from that point, we've been working to redefine the mission of PeaceWorks, what was PeaceWorks, it's now going to be Dances of Universal Peace International, to support the work of the MTG, and particularly the Leaders Guild. The Leaders Guild is the worldwide body of all mentored leaders, and there are about 1,200 of us, according to our database. Now, we're going to be refining that some in the latter part of this year, but that's the group that we are developing now resources to put online. A new website is, we hope by the end of the summer, going to be online. That will have many resources, including the standard repertoire of dance write-ups and a lot of other esoteric papers and other things related to the dances. It will also link up the various regions around the world, which is the other part of our mission, is continuing to help people connect with the dances in various localities around the world. We've also had a lot more communication with the region leadership and the places that are emerging, like Russia and South America, to try to bring all this together. Finally, we're preparing an approach to the Rouhaniyat leaders who have never really formally joined the dance network, so that we're all under one tent and supporting this work to move together to create common resources and encourage the strongest possible spiritual focus of the dances as they move around the world. So you could read a lot more about this on dancesofuniversalpeace.org, the old website I've been tinkering with the last several months to try to bring it more up to date and have some of this material on there. We've got a new regions policy. We've got a communications plan. There is a frequently asked questions page that updates you on various things. But all of this is intended to kind of bring us together under one tent of the Leaders Guild and begin working together in multiple languages to further the work of the dances. So I think that's what I'd have to say as an overview. Darvesha, do you want to add anything to that?
No, I think that you've done a good job.
You're very sweet. Well, we might just start with the guidelines, the MTG guidelines themselves. We had a quarterly, we're doing quarterly e-newsletters now to all members of the Leaders Guild, and around the end of April, we sent an e-newsletter with links to the website, and the MTG guidelines are on the website now in a couple of different forms, including a PDF document you can download as one document. Let's just open it up around the guidelines themselves. Do people have questions about things they've read in there or how this is all going to work or that sort of thing?
I have a comment.
Yes.
This is Perry. I think they're beautifully and thoughtfully written. And I think it's a tremendous amount of energy to try of information to try to absorb. So it's hard to know how to comment because I think you all have done a fabulous job.
it is a very comprehensive job, and I think it certainly is not something to just try to read in one sitting and then put away. It requires some reflection, particularly the way it's divided up into different sections.
Well, I'm wondering if it would be easier to just to maybe take it a section at a time. After this, I won't say anything.
I'll just chime in that that's exactly what I'm doing with my mentees.
A question on each section.
Sorry, Darvesh, you were talking over Perry, I think.
No, this is Yakin.
Yakin. Go ahead, Yakin.
Yeah, what Perry has said is exactly what I'm beginning to do sometime in the next week or so, is to take a section at a time and, you know, send it out as an email for discussion with my mentees. And I'm doing it for myself, you know, as much as for them, so that I can spend a little time with each section. And as far as, like, reflections on the overall document, it's great, but I think you kind of have to really dig into it to see how it can help you develop and, you know, how it can help others develop.
That's an excellent suggestion, Yakin, to work with your mentees that way. Perry, were you suggesting we do that now?
Not necessarily. I just, it's hard for me to, when you say what's your feedback, it's hard to, there's so much, it's so dense, it's hard for me to figure out where to begin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm wondering, Darvesh, or Malika, who is a co-author here, are there things that stand out in your mind that are new or given a major new focus in these guidelines, you know, several issues that we might sink our teeth into here?
Well, I could say what those things are. I can do that. That information has gone out in cover letters before. I just don't, you know, what I'm wondering is, this is an opportunity, I think, for us to hear where the questions are.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking in response to Perry, Wally, I wanted to, ask you, start there, Wally. Is there something that stands out to you, some one thing that stands out to you that you'd like to have clarification about, or that you feel is going to make a difference to you in your process with your mentees?
Well, if I can admit my own perhaps shortcoming, what I feel like is that as a mentor, what I have done is, well, as a mentee, my teacher was David Daly, and he didn't have guidelines, and a lot of the work that I felt we did together was almost on an inner plane. And then I work with my students similarly. They're all leading in their own communities and other places for the most part, and then I check in and get feedback from time to time. And I don't have that many students, but it's hard for me to figure out how to take my heart practice of holding these people and then put them into the crucible of all this information that's provided for me and make those come together. I think I'm doing a lot of the things that are in it. I just haven't figured out how to articulate what it is that I'm doing, because I've been doing it on a heart level. And I don't mean that to be a weakness. That's just where I'm coming from.
Well, I think that's a good place to be coming from, Wally, probably the best. I see dance leading as a craft, an art, and a spiritual practice. The craft of it has to do with all the stuff, you know, the technical stuff, what's in the books and everything that we need to know to lead. The art is more aesthetic and creating atmosphere and so on. And then the spiritual practice, which is the most important thing of all, has to do with the integration of the dance leader in what they present, what they bring to people, an understanding of the human condition that we're all in, and what the sacred phrase is speaking to in us. So this is one thing, you know, with mentees, if we have unintegrated material, family of origin issues or whatever, then we still have some work to do, you know, if we're going to be out there really in a free and a dynamic way. So, you know, our first charge to work with mentees, I think, is to be coming from the heart and with a deep understanding of our strengths and our limitations. And this material really touches on so many of the various things to be aware of. And I think if you just spend time with it, it rings a bell here or there and sinks in. It's not like something we have to know all this stuff and these guidelines in order to be able to be effective mentors. It's really more about cueing us to the things that are really important in this work. Dharvesha, would you say that's true?
Yes, and I think that, you know, different parts of the document are for different purposes. For instance, Perry, if you're mentoring people and you have questions about procedure, you'd look under the mentoring path. That's just procedural, you know. And a new dance leader who wants to know about becoming a dance leader would look in the dance leader's journey and hopefully the elements of mastery. And everybody would look at the agreement section just to look and see what you're signed up for. Materials and resources if you want them, bibliography if you want them, and a mentor's list if you want it. And that's the whole of the guidelines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm very interested if people feel a deluge of information that's overwhelming and that it's a body of work that they can't relate to because it's overwhelming. I would like that feedback. And I really like this idea of breaking it down. I think that's a great idea. I am hoping to start some kind of dialogue on the Mentor Teachers Guild listserv, and that's a good way to start, is to go through them section by section. I think that's a great idea.
This is Yaya, and I just wanted to say that what I really appreciate about it is it's like being given a syllabus, you know, to a reading syllabus. And so it gives me this whole outline for myself to actually reflect upon when I'm working with someone. Because for me, it's easy to work upon the past part of it and even the spiritual part of it. But sometimes weaving in the artistic piece and the creativity along with all of the spiritual practice can be a little bit more complex at finding people's own attunements. But I'm appreciating that with what you did is that it gives me this clear ask myself, what have I brought in with this person? What am I neglecting? What is not my strong point, so I tend to not bring it in? So that's what I like about the whole elements of mastery, as you call them. Those pieces are like they're developing a working relationship within myself as I can reflect upon them.
Oh, I think that's wonderful, and I do feel that is a good jump off place for mentors who are working with mentees. I'm really glad to hear that you're working with it in that way.
This is Hira Fitah. I want to say that, you know, the word syllabus was interesting to me. Actually, what's occurred to me, it's like the Gotha Papers. You could take a section of this at a time and use it as a spiritual document instead of just a guiding, you know, it does give a very nice overview, and it's concise enough that one can take it in a day or two. But to sit with parts of it at a time, it's a spiritual document, and why not just use it that way?
Yeah.
Thanks, Laura.
And I'm very interested to hear Wally has been sharing this with his mentee.
No, no. Not me.
That was Joaquin, was it?
Mm-hmm,
Joaquin said that. If we need to find ways to keep that mentor-mentee relationship alive and flourishing. And really, the issuance of these guidelines is an excellent opportunity to take that up with your mentees and let them, bring their questions to you. I mean, what does this bring up for them about what it is we're doing? So I encourage everybody to think about how to do that with your mentees.
This is Mirad Phil-Noderman. I have a comment. I want to add, you know, just piggyback on those that offer their appreciation for the document. It is more than just comprehensive and concise at the same time. It's inspiring. I found it inspiring to read. I wanted, you know, one of the things that we might want to look at if we begin to look at a discussion on a listserv or something like that, is to really dig into the practical implementation of some of the pieces of this. I mean, just to take one example, something like social responsibility, which is, you know, really an important added dimension to the process. Really talking about some very specific kinds of skills that can be taught: communication, conflict resolution, mediation. And it might be interesting to really, you know, regard some of these statements as a first step in really exploring how we can actually implement some of that work more fully with our mentees. You know, not necessarily with the restrictive, this is the way to do it, but just with a sense of how to broaden our horizons for digging into this work together.
Thanks, Phil. That's a great suggestion.
Is Abraham here? And I appreciate what you just said, Mirad. I'm very enthusiastic about what you referred to earlier, Munir, as bringing unity to the community, you know, that being part of our mission as dance leaders. And I wanted to also just address, Dharvesha, what you had said earlier about feeling that it's questioning whether is this an overwhelming document. I don't think it is. I think it's really well organized. I think it's really inspired in its presentation, and it is sufficiently organized that you really can take a piece of it at a time and work with it. We worked with it. Halim and I actually read a bunch of it to a dance training we just did, and actually went through the elements of mastery as a, you know, kind of a form for the whole weekend of training, and it was a very, very solid ground for our process as a group. I'm mostly really communicating appreciation for the document. I think it's excellent and inspired, but I'm also very intrigued with the how do we bring out what Mirad is just raising here, the issue of social responsibility, and sort of I'm intrigued myself in how this conversation goes beyond conversation and into action over the next year, you know.
Well, that's an excellent question, and it may be something that we can facilitate on the new website with a discussion group or resource pages that would be focused on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
We're certainly looking at how we can bring everybody together around issues or approaches that particularly interest them, whether it's the dances for children or in institutions, that sort of thing. And this is just one more dimension. I think this is kind of maybe the overriding dimension as, you know, how do we keep bringing the dances more effectively into the world in ways that build bridges in communities and beyond, you know, even on the international level. These are things we've only begun to explore, really.
Very exciting work.
And that kind of gets into also the how do we organize ourselves into the most effective ways. We had another telecon on Sunday for folks who could make Sunday, and one of the points that came up then was that it was also important for dance leaders to understand how the network is organized and moving forward, not just the guidelines, but also how we're working together and how it's all happening. So that would be a part of the purpose of this telecon also, is to answer questions about that. There have been a couple of e-newsletters, and there have been changes on the website you may have noticed if you've been there lately. There's a lot happening. But do folks have questions about that? May not know exactly what to ask. We're trying to simplify and move things forward in a way that is logical and needed. You know, what's really needed now in 2010, and a lot of our focus has to do with shifting resources to the web, which is a very efficient way to make resources available and information around the world in different languages. And publications, PeaceWorks publications, and the form it was in has been pretty much shut down. We're still offering the dance booklets and so on until we can get them online. But we have a self-electing board now. People can have input into that process, but it's a much simpler kind of structure. We have our goals and objectives online for folks to see what we're up to. And right now, this year, we're creating the new website. We're creating these communications channels with the Leaders Guild and with the regions, and moving forward, really, with implementing some of the recommendations of the Unity Council in terms of building a stronger leaders guild. You know, you've probably heard a lot about the Mentor Teachers Guild over the years, and this is a group that we are as mentors. It's been pretty much a sort of a wandering dervish group without much, you know, formal organization to it at all. The real attempt here has been to bring the international organization directly in alignment with the work of the dances in the most important areas that we can try to advance. We can talk about some of the strategies there, but Darvesha has mentioned the possibility of having a mentor training event at some point in the next couple of years, really to begin to zero in on the skills and attunement needed for mentoring and providing some real tools and resources there. But anyway, the functioning of the organization is been streamlined and we hope simplified. And the door is always open for ideas and comments now or later.
Could you clarify something, Munir?
Sure. Yes.
This is Perry again. Did you say that the dances or the materials are going to be available online eventually?
Yes, we're presently getting going to put the whole standard repertoire, the Foundation Dance Manual, and all the booklets online in a restricted area of the site that's available for Leaders Guild members who will log on with a username and password, and then they have access to those dance write-ups. And we're working on audio files of the material as well. So you'll be able to do a search. If you know a word or two of the title of a dance, you'll be able to search for all those dances that have that in their title and then be able to download it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's great.
We're also going to have an international events page for major events of international scope to be able to be posted there. There's discussion pages. You'll be able to log on and see a list of your mentees and update your contact information. And we're hoping that we'll, through this mechanism, be able to greatly improve the quality of our database by having folks coming to us to update their information and make it the most current. These are some of the things we're trying to get into place well, very soon, actually by this fall, we hope to have it in place.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. That's Yaya again.
You bet. Thank you, Yaya.
Does everybody understand the constellation now, the distinction of the Leaders Guild, the Mentor Teachers Guild?
I would like to have Mentor 1, Mentor 2, Mentor 3. I read it. How many people are at those levels?
What you is that your only question? The numbers?
I'm not sure. Well, I don't know if it. Never mind. I'll retract the question. It's one of those things where there's just a. We put a new hierarchy on, and I have questions about who's moving in that direction, or like, but I don't even know what the question is, so I'm going to just back up. So I'm sorry.
Well, first of all, while there's no new hierarchy put on, where that is not a new change. Those levels are not a new change. The only new change in categories is we took some categories out. We took out supervisee and a couple of other categories. I don't remember what. We're 9, now there's 6. Those three levels of mentors have always been there.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
That's all right. And, you know, just again, we really clarified, you know, we simplified the description of those levels. And so there's only it's quite short to read about the different qualities that they have at each of those levels. Or the,
page 18 and 19.
The distinction, or whatever you'd call it. Yes, on page 18, 19.
Mentor levels.
One thing about what appears to be hierarchy is what it really means is more service. the longer you stick around in this stuff, the more you're asked to do, or that God asks you to do, and that's pretty much how it works, you know, and I don't think of anybody in this organization as really throwing their weight around. We're all trying to advance this thing that we all love so much, and that's how I see it anyway, as a living organism, and some people are working in different pieces of the picture, but it's all to help the whole thing be more than the sum of the parts.
Well, I like what you said, and that really is the difference in those mentor levels, is that how big of a community are you holding and serving? So it really is what Munir said. It's how far is your service expanded, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Other questions about any of this that we've been touching on?
This is Judith Kulish.
Yes.
I just wanted to share that I actually hadn't even planned to be on this call tonight. I was just checking my emails and got the message that said it was happening, and looked at my clock and said, and called in. So I was a little
late.
And all I want to, just what I want to share right now is that everything that you are sharing, I've been following on my computer as I'm talking to you, because I haven't spent the time with any of it, either the guidelines or the organization. And all I can say is I'm sitting here going, wow, about everything I'm looking at and hearing from all of you, and extremely, extremely grateful for all the work that you put in to it, and also just for the giftedness of each of you that has been serving in this way, and having such clear thinking, such depth of understanding, and such great communication. It's part of me can't wait to spend time with this. Feels very happy to have it to share with my few mentees, and for as a renewal for myself and other dance leaders in the area. So I know others have been saying thank you and saying how much they appreciate it, but I just needed to speak up because it just looks and feels like a profound gift, and so timely, and such a furthering of this wonderful gift we're giving to the dancers of Universal Peace. So my heartfelt applause and bows and prayers to all of you.
Well, thank you, Judith, so much for that. I know just about everybody on this call deserves some of the credit, because I know, I think I know everybody personally, and I know what all you're doing in different ways to move this whole thing forward. And it's a beautiful net of jewels that we're all embedded in here.
Thank you, Judith.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
This is Hira Fatah. I had a couple things that have occurred while I'm listening. This is just wonderful discussion. In terms of Darvesha's concern, the document, I think it was Darvesha, might appear overwhelming. You know, I think I myself am a very non-academic person, and it took me some time to get through it, but it was very digestible, and I think you've really achieved a good deal of making it not overwhelming, and the degree to which it is overwhelming is just because it's a vast subject. And actually, I even wonder if there's some value in a sense of overwhelm, so that somebody who wants to just, oh, gee, I want to lead dances, well, let's see what this looks like, you know?
Yeah.
This is not lightweight, you know? It's not just like calling square dance, you know? I mean, this is not what we're doing. And I appreciate that actually the vastness is amplified on paper this much, and I think it's useful that it is.
Thanks, Sarah. Thank you. We know we have a good document, and I appreciate, love hearing you say it. And but what we don't have is we haven't made it so. We have, although it was a lot of work to create this document, it's just a document, and now really our work begins how to really make it so. And so we want this teleconference is so that if there are questions, we can answer them, but it's also for us to try and figure out just how we're trying to glean from people enough so that we know how to take it now into practical production. And there have been some nice suggestions made.
Yes, and we've really, in the Dances of Universal Peace International Organization, now to which we all belong, and we are working together in various ways, we've put the spiritual work, the inner work that we each must do, and the outer work in the community squarely at the center of what it's all about. So it's really, about the thing we love the most. And even though we're a public benefit nonprofit, we are essentially extending the work that Murshid Sam began in the 60s, and we see it as a array of that vision that Anayat Khan brought. So all of us that lead the dances, including the Rouhaniyat teachers who've been leading for 35 years, it's been an ongoing thing. We're all doing the same toward the one work, and it's just the process of awakening. It's just the work of awakening that we're engaged in, all of us. So I feel very excited that we've put that at the heart of our guidelines and at the heart of our way of organizing around the work. Well, it's almost 10 minutes to the hour. I don't know how long we want to go here. We can certainly go over an hour, but does anyone have just comments or questions about anything that's been said up to this point or anything you'd like to say in closing?
Thank you.
This is Hira Fatah.
Yes.
This is Hira Fatah. I wanted to say there is one question for me that's sitting there, which is, you know, this feels so much to me like a spiritual document in the Elements of Mastery. And for me, my experience as a dance leader who uses this as my primary spiritual practice, even individually. I'm wondering if this isn't just another assertion for me that, in fact, the dances themselves are a spiritual tradition. And I'm wanting to just put that out there, not that I need an answer. And, you know, it's one of those questions that probably won't be answered. But just to say that, you know, this is it does feel like a confirmation to me of how powerful this work is when it's taken seriously.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Hira, someone asked Murshid Wali Ali several years ago if the dances were a spiritual path unto themselves, and he said, of course, if you add in surrender of the ego to God.
Mm.
Of course, I suppose gardening could be as well, if one adds that in. But you know, I think he's right. But that's a very big deal. It's a very big deal. And, you know, we said this on the call the other night, but for the vast majority of the world, the Buddhists in the Middle East and the most of the native traditions and so on, it's about effacement of the ego. That's the spiritual path. And, of course, it's what the Aramaic Jesus taught as well. But that is at the heart of the Sufi path, and it's at the heart of the dance guidelines, you know. So it's very much, you know, if we enter into the dances with full our eyes wide open about what it means as a vehicle of personal transformation of the person, it certainly can be a spiritual path.
Mm-hmm. I have an amusing story that I'd like to share. I believe this was Ram Dass that I was seeing. I don't keep track of details real well, but he was telling a story about one time when he was giving a presentation to a large group of people in an auditorium about awakenment, and he noticed, he couldn't help but notice that in the second row there was this little old lady that was just nodding and glowing, mm-hmm. and I mean, extremely grandmotherly looking, and you know, most everybody else was, you know, these young people who were looking at the New Age as belonging to them. And he was just really curious about her. He couldn't help himself. And when it got over, he had a time when he came down and met people, and she was standing there and still doing her nodding and glowing. And he managed to be talking to some people close to her and say something to elicit, you know, well, what's your experience? What's your experience about with this enlightenment stuff? And she said, oh, I understand. I crochet.
Yeah,
so, I mean, we all have our doorways, you know, and I can, you know, there's a rhythm to crocheting. There's something really manifesting through it. And for this little old lady, that's what it was. And for us to just wake up and not be limiting it, you know, accepting that, in fact, gardening, yeah, gardening, sure, crocheting. I've met, when I used to take care of infants for people, while they were at work, I mean, I just worked in kind of a standard old daycare. But I swear I met some enlightened people there, people who were just, they did everything they did from the perfect place in their heart, and they weren't even calling themselves on a spiritual path.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Hiro. I think we see a lot of amazing things happen in this work, that's for sure, and in within ourselves too. Do others have closing comments or thoughts as we're wrapping up here?
Well, I have one, Abraham here.
Yeah.
It's almost really a prayer that I really appreciate the dedication and service and work and effort that most of the people on this call have made, and many others have made, to help concretize and organize and ground our ideals in an organizational form and in language of a document. These are substantive and real and very valuable. And I want to just, the prayer is somehow that we always keep a balance of seeing the reality of this manifest organizational form and manifest document, and also keep our ideal in being transparent and almost empty and effaced organizationally. I've seen so many idealistic organizations get carried away with their own self-importance as an organization. And I actually think there's some of that history in our lineage too. And going forward, I hope we can retain, you know, the purity of our ideals and the effort and work that does go involved in making real things happen and making connections and conferences and events. And at the same time, you know, retain a purity about what the organization is serving and what, you know, what it's all about. Well, that's
absolutely
to say, but that's my prayer.
Thank you, Abraham.
Beautifully said.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Other thoughts, comments?
I would be very interested in this, Perry.
Can't hear.
At a camp, say like the one, like a camp, but I've been considering doing. So I am interested in this. Because I have specific questions like
Excuse me, I wonder if your phone might be muted. It's really hard to hear you.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes. Better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It may be the mic placement. It's got a weird the mic's a weird thing. Okay. I would like to be informed about the mentor camp that Darvesha might post at some point, because I would really like to be in a conversation in person with people who are mentoring. I think that I always get a tremendous value out of being with people like what we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have three specific questions that I just want to that are things that I just think about. I think about how our community, at least where I lead, the community here is graying. I think about how do I work with students who are challenging? Maybe they are just like me, or maybe they're completely different from me. And in both cases, how do you work with people who you may not be able to see your own blind sight in? And those are just two of the questions I'd like to be. I'd really like to continue to deepen in and just have it's examples of how I would think I would benefit by hearing what other people's questions are and being together in community at some point. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Those are excellent questions.
Yeah, this is Joanne Murray from Ontario in Canada. One of the things that I found valuable in when I feel that or when I have felt that it's kind of sometimes a lonely kind of a journey too when everybody's far apart, is three of us actually who are mentoring got together and every 2 months or so have a teleconference. And and you know, bring to that discussion, you know, the beauty as well as the challenges in circles and in working with our mentees, and that has been a really incredibly rich journey. That if other people think it could work for them, I find it really has worked for us. So it's
That is a great idea, and Munir mentioned that we started working on all of this 4 years ago. Originally a meeting in San Francisco with Wali Ali Shabda, Malika Munir, and I, and Kavi Mariam. And one of the things we discussed at length there, at least Malika and I did with Wali Ali, was trying to facilitate a smaller groupings of mentors. Because, right, to have an international meeting of all the mentors is one thing, but imagine the cost and the fuel. And so another possibility.
It doesn't fit the planet right now. It doesn't fit. So I understand what you're. I think we all desire it, but this seems to work. And and to the point where we actually physically get together once a year if we can as well. And
Yeah. So you've talked about that too. I think that's really good.
Oh, 4 years ago, and then we've been focusing on the Unity Council and the guidelines and the reorganization. Now we're ready again to circle around, and I really like this idea of finding ways to facilitate that. Tell me again your name. I missed it.
It's Joanne Murray. And I'm in the eastern part of Ontario in Canada. So
okay.
About 100 miles from the capital.
Just ask you some more questions.
Abraham, I have another a seed to plant here. I agree with what's been said that grandiose international gatherings face to face are use too much fuel. But the grand linking of regional conferences and regional connections can be developed much further. And the seed in my mind now is sort of like a federated university of training, of mentorship training and dance leadership training, that the various regional centers of training could collaborate more and work more harmoniously and interactively, even without having a big face-to-face event. That I'd like to see that develop over the next couple of years.
So Abraham, I'll also get in touch with you. I mean, I really would like to talk to both of you more about these ideas.
Good.
Hi, this is Yaquin, and we are working on creating a dance leadership training in Phoenix, Arizona, with Darvesha. Possibly later this year, but if not later this year, early next year. And just for that, mostly we're offering it to people who are within driving distance, but I mean, it would be, possible to put that announcement out further for anybody who might be in the area. And not so much necessarily as a mentor training, but, still to start, bringing these guidelines, the new guidelines, into some kind of fruition and some kind of, growth by, gathering. And we easily have, 30, 40 dance leaders within, a day or two's drive of Phoenix, Arizona. So we are working on that, Abraham, trying to get it going.
Great.
Thank you, Yaquin.
It's Manira here in Ohio. I thought I would jump in before the conversation was over. I don't think there's anything more that I could add, especially to the kinds of thank yous and appreciations. I think also that this document is succinct yet profound and complex, and it also, as others have said, it calls us to an individual search, but it also, as a mentor, gives us a tool even to use with mentees. So I feel like that I've personally been enriched, and that my mentoring will be enriched by the work that you all have done on all of our paths. And then in the logistical arena, I can appreciate from the kind of work I do what it's like to try to deal with some kind of international community as well as a diverse North American community to try to deal with new technologies while at the same time trying to do things that are locally and regionally focused and that are heart-to-heart and face-to-face. So I think that you're doing it. You're just doing it, and that is by exploring all options and staying open and affirming that the unity of it all and inviting and respecting all. I can't see how it can't go any way but good in terms of the path that you've set out for all of us. So I hope that and that we are responding in ways that are helpful to you, that the questions are helpful. And if there are questions more specific that you want to ask of us, me as a mentor or as part of the community, I would want to respond to something that would be more specific as a question. But I feel like you're covering all the bases and have done great work. So thanks.
Thank you, Manira.
Thank you so much, Manira.
Okay.
Well, it's 5 past the hour, and I always think a conference call is really starting to wind up by an hour and a quarter. It's about all you can really do. Does anyone have anything that they'd like to say in closing?
I could come in here. This is Jabrila. I'm on the phone at my new grandson's house in Seattle. And I've been feeling like I'm listening in on this conversation. And in a way, that's how I am in relation to the whole organization. Is, you know, I have one mentee. I lead a small dance group in Olympia. And it's embedded, totally embedded in a community, an interfaith community. And that the dancers serve that community beautifully. So I, you know, when I read the document, I think, oh my gosh, this is so big and ambitious, and it's a wide vision. But still, in a sense, I'm listening in rather than feeling that I'm really in the front lines of serving this. So I appreciate those of you who are, and I give you my thanks, and I hope that it's fine to keep listening in once in a while. And I do find that the resources just amazingly helpful in my little arena where I work.
Thank you for listening in.
Yeah.
We like that.
Intending,
we like that. Thank you.
Tending grandsons is part of the work, too, you know.
So, yeah, definitely.
We all do
I'm
what we can.
I'm certainly realizing that.
Yeah. Well, thank you all so much for being a part of this tonight. It's great to connect in this way. And Darvesha and I both really thank you. And you'll be hearing more from us as we get a little further down the line here.
Good.
Darvesha, anything else from you?
Oh, no, just thank you so much for your commitment and enthusiasm and that's why we're doing this, and that's what makes us realize that it is becoming so because you all phoned in. If no one had phoned in, we would have been wondering. Thank you for coming.
We want to thank Lucinda and Sky and the board of the North American region for sponsoring this. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Lots of love, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.